It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. We have 5 hours of sports coming up for you. General at your service. There's Brian and his LSU vest. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control, ready to go 5. You got Woolchuck and Chiafalo. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. All righty, let's start with college football, gentlemen. Georgia blowing out Texas in Austin, smothering defense, 7 sacks. Longhorns get 29 rushing yards. Can Texas recover from this? Still win the championship? What do you think? Or was it that decisive?
Man, it was very decisive. I do think that this is certainly one where Sark's going to have to go back to the drawing board because Kirby Smart had his number. I mean, that was a masterclass from Kirby Smart, taking away everything Texas wanted to do offensively. Coming into it, we talked about it on Friday, thought maybe Texas actually had the advantage for a rare time at the line of scrimmage. That offensive line certainly got exploited. Now, I don't think...
Better start paying more for it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, hey, they've been recruiting well. They got a tackle that's probably going to go in the top 10 of the draft. I think Jake Majors, the center, local kid from Prosper, probably going to be a day 2 pick, second or third round guy. They got some talent on that line, but Georgia was a different animal, and they had an answer for everything Sark wanted to do. I don't think Quinn was particularly good. I think the pocket management of him was pretty poor. I love the way Sark handled the quarterback situation in the game. I thought they needed to go to Arch, see if maybe he could give them a spark. He didn't. Then you go back to Quinn, and you let Quinn try and ride this thing out. So I thought Sark handled it better, handled it well during the game. But if they see each other again, he's going to have to come up with a very different offensive approach.
No doubt, Brian.
Yeah, they had a really – and Texas really prides itself on its offensive line. Mm-hmm. And, they were completely – outplayed in that football game. They really didn't have an answer for Michael Williams and others in that game. I mean, it was just and every time that they went back to pass, there seemed to be a pressure, a hit, somebody in one of these quarterbacks' face as they're throwing the football. I think Texas's defense played well enough to win this game, but their offense was like you mentioned, couldn't run the ball. Really could not even throw the ball effectively like they needed to, or how we've seen Texas play before. He had a couple of quarterbacks. Like I say, it's surprising with Quinn Ewers because, this isn't like a first start for him.
Right.
This is something.
Exactly.
This is a guy that's 3 years into the program, and we're talking about him as a top NFL quarterback and a guy you need to look at and all. He looked just very, very intimidated by what Georgia was doing. And I don't know if you're an NFL team and you watch that tape, it's one game, but you're kind of like going, wow, it's a badass. I mean, we were talking about the kid down there in Houston at the Texans down there with
C.J. Stroud. Yeah.
And what he did against Georgia
sure.
in that playoff game that time. And Ohio State had all that talent and all, and you're kind of like thinking, wow. That's pretty impressive, with that matchup in that game. And so all of a sudden, you're kind of like, you're looking at those big games, But man, Quinn Ewers played like that. He was not very comfortable at all with the game plan or the way that he was playing.
Right, right. And that's eye-opening, and that's part of the reason why I would probably disagree ultimately with the going to Arch there, because what makes you think your quarterback that's played against nobody really is going to come in here in this environment with this front,
the mobility factor
they got going?
Arch can get plays with his legs.
They were trying.
And I get that.
There were some RPO plays where, like, Quinn doesn't have the threat, so Georgia's now just going completely with their running backs. And if you have a quarterback that can keep it, you can pick up a chunk here. And in the second half, I think they did a good job of, like, slow-mo showing that. Quinn doesn't have that impact on the game. Arch does. So I like that they went back to Quinn, but at that time of the game, with how big this is and how well Arch had actually played, give him a shot, see if he can give you a spark. Ultimately, they saw two series. No, this isn't going to be good, and we don't want to shatter this kid's confidence. Well, so let's go back to the veteran here in Quinn Ewers.
Yeah. I mean, I respected that they went back to Ewers for sure after they made the mistake of going to Arch. 28 pressures was bad. Quinn Ewers looked like a guy who, like you said, he didn't feel good about the plan. That's an indictment on Sark. He's like, dude, I am not ready for this. Yep. And that's an indictment on Quinn for sure, but that's also, dude, you're supposed to have an awesome offensive line.
Yeah.
This is breakdowns and protection in a big way that feels like you had no idea what Kirby Smart was capable of, and this is who he is. And this was a huge game for Georgia. And you walk in there in your own house, and you got your fans having to conjure up something to keep things going your way.
Hopefully they can turn it into a blessing. You know, something like this happens at midseason. It challenges you to reevaluate everything. And the next time you're in this game, you will know you have to make offensive adjustments, or those guys are going to have to play a lot better. It's interesting to me that we talk about the coach and the quarterback so much when it was the offensive line that really got their tails.
They did. And now the problem that Texas runs into, and you know, the rest of the way, winnable games, except you get to the Texas A&M game, and that could be, you know.
They got Vanderbilt this week. Yeah. So I mean, let's just be real.
Yeah, you're right. I think that, you know, Vanderbilt is capable, but the problem that Texas has now is with the loss. Is that A&M game could very well come down to, you know, having one loss or two losses.
That could be an SEC championship.
Does that kick you? Does that keep you out of the playoff scenario there?
Indeed. Okay. Maybe the most notable moment came in the third quarter. Interception by Jahdae Barron was negated by a pass interference penalty. Play was stopped. Fans began throwing beer cans and water bottles and other debris onto the field. Mm-hmm. Today, Coach Steve Sarkisian said the Longhorns' passionate fan base needs to use better discretion after the school was fined and threatened with further sanctions by the SEC. Not a good look there on the big stage. No. But, you know, that happens. You get frustrated, and the play was overturned. You know,
it was. I was trying to
I've never seen that before.
The unreviewable play was overturned.
Yeah. I think you have. In the 2015 Cowboys-Lions playoff game.
Oh, that 14 playoff game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Hitchens.
Okay.
Flag picked up.
Yeah,
flag picked up.
That's
it was
true.
Pete Morelli's crew. Pete Morelli's crew that game. They call a pass interference, and it was overturned. And they said, "Well, it was just face guarding." Well, in the NFL, you can face guard. In college football, you can't. Hmm. But they picked up the flag.
Yeah,
and it worked out to Dallas's benefit.
Good
in
call.
That playoff game.
Yeah, with Anthony Hitchens. Yeah, I think it was Brandon Pettigrew, the tight end. That's a good call.
Yep. Do you think there's a hangover after Texas OU as far as you get up so emotionally, and then the next week maybe you come out flat?
No, not against Texas and what was billed as the biggest game, like against Georgia at home that they've had in 60 years, is what Chip Brown was telling us on Friday. My gosh, like, if you don't get up for that game, then there's something big time wrong with you.
Yeah, I guess I just think it's hard, you know, to ride that emotional high back-to-back weeks.
Well, that's
it's exhausting.
That's the issues now that Texas and Oklahoma will have to learn about playing in the Southeastern Conference. Hmm.
There's no breathers.
There's no breather game. I mean, your breather game is playing, you know, some other team.
This is supposed to be a breather game coming up this
breather
week.
Breather game, and next thing you know, it's not a breather game, and that's something every week. But, you know, that's why the conference does get respect that way, because of every week, it seems to be a top 25 matchup.
Mike McCarthy does not agree with Troy Aikman's assessment of wide receivers is the headline in the morning news as we open up Cowboys week here, where they're about to get back to work. Today, they're doing a state of the team address where he's, I guess, tweaking the practice schedule, and he's talking about their across-the-hall meetings where the offense and defense go share their perspectives with each other. Last year, it was maybe eye-opening for the offense to hear what the defense had to say about him. But as far as Troy Aikman's assessment, if you missed it last week, Troy said the Cowboys' routes are terrible. Mike saying today, for me to address those comments, I don't, because they don't carry any weight with me because I watch all the tape. I get to go to the meetings and I'm at practice and I'm part of the games. And he said, Troy's statement in particular, I don't agree with the word selection, but there is definitely need for improvement in every position, not just one position that he commented on. So I think you look at the whole picture, you break it down, and that's what coaches do. There's a process to it. I don't think he disagrees. Reading his statement, he's like, I didn't like the word selection. That just means he wouldn't be as blunt about it, you know? But as he said, you know, there's room for improvement in every position, not just one position that he commented on. I don't know. He says he won't address the comments because they don't carry any weight because he watches all the tape. He never says Troy was really wrong.
Yeah. No, he just can't admit it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he just can't say it, I guess.
I would like to think he's saying some things of that nature at times behind closed doors, but when you say that to the media, it's a huge indictment on you. And Gerard Mayo saying it now, he's been there for 5 seconds. He knows it's not like, oh, this isn't... He can at least act like, hey, this isn't my program. I haven't been here for a half decade building something, and now for Gerard Mayo, he's doing this to the Patriots. No,
he's been on the staff.
Well, sure, yes, but he hasn't been the leader in command, okay. And everything falls on him. Mm-hmm. That has just started. So he can, like, you can start that, I guess. But when you're 5 years into you've built your program, you're rooted or whatever, and now all of a sudden you're calling your team soft,
yeah,
that's a bad reflection on you. So he's not going to do that.
Or run bad routes.
Yeah, I mean, you can be honest and call out the receivers for running lazy. Bad routes, though. Like, yeah. I would like to see that, and I wouldn't take it as an indictment on Mike McCarthy personally. I would be like, this is refreshing to hear. Thank God. Somebody's trying to hold somebody accountable over there, Mike. Like, we're all seeing it. You're just telling us what we're seeing now, and now you're actually holding the players somewhat accountable, which is something from the outside. I know, like, they're dug in and rooted, whatever they're doing in the building there, but we've been saying. I mean, he could put it to, like, hey, we've got some young guys like Brooks and Flournoy, and, you know, we're asking Turpin and Tolbert to do more things than usual. I guess there's a way that he could, like, save face for himself, but I kind of like that. Like, show a little bit of fire and accountability instead of anytime Mike gets up there, it's a lot of excuse making. It's the officiating. It's, well, you know, I'm watching the film. Troy doesn't. Like, no, dude. This is a Hall of Fame Super Bowl champion who is one of the biggest figures in your organization. When he speaks, it matters and it holds weight. And fans are going to listen to it, whether you like it or not. So maybe you should actually be honest a little bit, because Troy is. And I think we're all seeing there's something wrong here. I don't think CD's a bad route runner, but there's at times things can be a little bit sloppy and everybody could improve.
They're definitely not creating the separation, are they, Brian?
No, they're not. And, you know, if you go back and kind of look at the routes that they run, I mean, and I think that they don't have great route runners. I think the best route runner that I've seen in a while here was Amari Cooper. And he watched his ability to work off the line, to separate, to create that space that he needs. I don't see them having that guy. Cooks, you know, has the quickness. Turpin has the quickness. I don't think Turpin has the size, of course, that you have with Amari Cooper. But if you look at the routes, like, I just looked at this post-bye last year for CeeDee Lamb. The routes that he was most successful were slants, hitches, outs, post, go, and cross. Those were the routes that he was the most successful for. So he was, his slant routes, he was 19 catches out of 26 for 267 yards, one touchdown. Pre-bye, he's down on crosses, he's down on hitches, he's down on slants, he's down on goes. The screen is, he's 4 for 4 on, and outs, he's 3 for 5. This coach does nothing to create route separation for his receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Troy Aikman's seeing. Mm. He can make comments about it that they're poor route runners, but if you watch other teams around the league and how they operate, they get their receivers open. If they're not great route runners, you have to then create opportunity to put them on the move. And it's not all about motions and stuff, but maybe it's about how you line them up. Maybe you line them up tight to formations. Maybe you run them out of bunches. You know, that's what you have to do. CeeDee Lamb hasn't taken advantage of off coverage this year. That's something he's pretty good at. So even when he's had the opportunity for separation, they haven't found a way to get him the ball.
So Troy's talking about routes, what you think is it's bad route runners combined with bad scheme.
Bad route concepts, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you have guys...
I was surprised Aikman didn't say that. I really was.
I will say this, though, too, and this is no slam at Troy. He no longer does games for Fox. He's not seeing Dallas every single game now.
That's true.
He does Monday Night Football. Maybe he sits down and watches the Cowboys on his day off. I don't know how much tape he's grinding on. When he's got a Cowboy game, sure, he's right in the middle of all that.
Right.
And all that.
No, that's a fair point.
So I just would maybe kind of, when he was working with Fox and he talks about the Cowboys, I kind of perk up a little bit because I'm thinking he's watching it every single time. He's doing all those Cowboy games. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they need to find ways to take advantage of their receivers in a way that if they're not Amari Cooper type runners, you have to find a way to get them opportunities, and I don't think we're doing that here.
49ers are up next. They do know how to get guys open, but they've lost Brandon Ayuk. That's a big injury. McCaffrey still out a few more weeks. 49ers are 5-point favorites. Of course, we'll be talking about does the Niners' recent struggles here, sitting at 3-4 after losing to the Chiefs, make you optimistic that maybe the Cowboys could get a dub here at 877-881-1053. If you want to leave your name and city you're texting from, we sure would appreciate it. The Niners being gashed on the ground, though, by good running games. Mahomes caught him for almost 40 yards last night. Can the Cowboys do that? I don't know. I'm having a hard time finding optimism here as we get this week underway, but it is a long season.
Yeah, we'll get into it during the week. Dallas never does a very good job of handling these two linebackers. Yeah. That's the problem. When you play the 49ers, it's always those two linebackers that you have to deal with.
Fred Warner, he's the kryptonite. Warner,
yeah, he causes a lot of problems for you when he plays you.
We got G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. A college football darty next, Chief?
Yeah, Texas-sized footballer ball sack for the fellas and mascots making headlines next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Next in the nation.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Here we go. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. College football darty here in just a second. Brought to you by Soda. That's state of the arts. Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Here's the chief of that college football.
Okay, so the Texas fans are throwing stuff all over the field. It gets a little crazy, and now it's being alleged that you have students receiving texts from an 805 number that reads, "We have identified that you were throwing items onto the Texas Longhorns field from the student section. As a result, your big ticket has been revoked for this calendar year. If you have any questions, let Texas Athletics know." I don't know if this is real or not. I'm seeing screenshots of it going around. So I don't know. I don't know. Broadus, we have boots on the ground clearly with the Longhorns. I know Bennett was not drunk enough, not quite drunk enough to throw things on the field, but maybe he knows people around campus getting these texts.
Yeah, I asked him. I said, "Hey, were you an idiot? Did you throw anything on the field?" He said, "No, I didn't." And I guess, be honest with you, it's kind of embarrassing that we did.
Very.
But yeah, that's. I don't know. I don't know anything about these messages. I know that the university was saying if they can identify the people, that they were going to do something about it, but I don't know if that's if I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, do
if
they this, have the this camera? Might
a, this might be a butt cracking right now or something like that going on.
Well, we got a footballer ball sack for you here in a second, but okay. We do know that Texas is being fined $250K.
That's kind of standard in the SEC.
That's right, and it's really nothing for Texas. I mean, that flies out of the account.
Yeah,
they don't even know what's going on.
Write that off.
But there are, like, the SEC even is saying.
In the NFL, it happens too. Jacksonville, they just let $21 million kind of evaporate.
That's true. It took a while for them to figure that out.
The NFL or college, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, if cans or bottles are used as projectiles or otherwise cause game management issues, the institution is subject to an immediate fine and suspension of the alcohol sales privileges. So be careful.
That'll get you. As soon as the SEC threatens, like, "Hey, no more booze," all of a sudden your conduct gets real better.
They're going to start acting right.
Yeah.
Stop that right now, bro. We're about to lose the
Everyone
beer.
Everyone bands together.
My bad.
Throw anything. We can't drink.
Yeah, you talk about catching a butt whooping at a stadium. You be the guy that gets the beer thrown out. Forget about it, man. You can't show your face. You're Bartman times 10.
Texas fifth now. After taking the L, we feel all right about that. I mean, I think that's pretty par for the course there. Ohio State 4, Penn State 3. Look at old Penn State. Franklin, the demise is around the corner somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they might be able to beat Michigan this year, but I don't think they're beating Ohio State. They seem to always lose those games, but Michigan seems ripe for the picking for them this year.
Congrats to Oregon for being number one in the country, though they did have a very sad situation with their mascot that we'll throw on the fan cam here momentarily. But I did have a stat of the day for you guys. Kirby Smart now has 100 wins. Took him 117 games to get to 100 wins at a single SEC school all time. That's good for number one. Nick Saban did it in 118 games. So one game better. I guess in some ways Kirby Smart is on his way. He is on pace to be better than Nick Saban. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves.
The GOAT.
Future pretty big sample size.
The thing that Saban was able to do is he won national championships at two schools.
Mm-hmm. So, and the sustained success.
So he drug an LSU school to the national championship and won. So I'd still say
all good points. Yeah. No, there's some facetiousness there, but I did think it was pretty cool. Congratulations.
No, Kirby Smart is a hell of a coach.
Old, amazing. Old Curb dog. Yeah. Sark was like, "Wow, this, I guess, you know what? I guess I do need to have some respect for this guy."
Yeah.
And, all right, football or ball sack? We all saw Matthew McConaughey, and it was a star-studded sideline,
by the way,
on both sides, for Georgia and for Texas. And you saw Matthew McConaughey when Arch got the call. You could see, and he, you know, him being the minister of good vibes and culture, McConaughey goes up to him and has a face-to-face with him where their noses are basically touching. Shortly, just seconds before he goes onto the field. And the quote from, this is the pump-up speech from McConaughey. He says, in his own way, of course, but he says, "Archibald, I want you to talk about dynasties, La Familia, lineage, Kennedys, Alec Baldwin and the other ones, Fast and the Furious, expectations. You hail from a line of swineskin aerialists, gridiron aristocrats, all right? But David had to give that throne to Solomon. And the Centurion block pocket is now your canvas."
I love it.
Get out on the field and go tear him up, son. It was a double butt smack as he went onto the field and got his ass kicked for two drives. So
it's a ball sack.
You going football or ball sack on that one?
Ball sacking all the way.
You know, I couldn't believe it.
I mean, come on.
I could believe it. I wouldn't think the actual thing is that far from it. but I just don't think they'll be able to transcribe it in that much detail. That's the only reason I'm ball sacking here, Chief.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah, that's
The only reason why is because he called him Archibald.
If he he calls him Archibald?
If he called him Arch, I think I'd believe every word of that, but he called him Archibald.
We were one word into that ball sack quote and you already knew?
When he said Archibald, I said that's a ball sack.
Yeah.
But everything else is true.
The Fast and Furious also, that comment.
Hey,
La Familia.
Okay, but everything else.
I don't think McConaughey's a big Fast and Furious guy. He hasn't been asked to be part of the series yet.
Believe it all, except Archibald. Wouldn't do it.
Okay, this is a true quote, but I did love this one from Chip Towers in lead up to the matchup. Georgia's mascot. We were concerned about a Bevo versus Uga head-to-head square off once again, you know, round two.
Ben went over there and met Bevo.
Yeah.
Ben, okay. Your favorite dog.
Yeah, this is my segment, okay? You can put that in the corner. All right. The quote about the new Uga dog, because they're,
he's
immature.
Friday.
The hasn't been on a plane yet.
Yeah, he's too young, you know.
Immature and crazy.
He hasn't been on
a
bus either. Yeah, he's Uga the 10th or the 11th or whatever it is. I thought it was just really we're scared of Rubivo.
I am happy for Oregon, number one in the country. They storm into Purdue and just mop the floor with them. But I do feel bad for the decapitation that took place shortly before kickoff. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. A duck decapitation.
Oh, yeah.
Mascot.
First time I've ever seen it.
He looked like that Lions quarterback where his head goes flying off.
Eric Hipple.
Old Hipple.
That started going viral today.
It's a very active duck. I was surprised that it's not secured better.
Did you see how impressive it was, though, that he, like, how quickly
he did
the reaction time?
Yeah.
Like, his understanding for knowing that his real identity cannot be known for his own good, let alone the bylaws of being a mascot. And his ability to, while getting KO'd, basically, unbeknownst to him, by his own player running out of the tunnel.
Damn it.
And his first reaction is not to, like, yell for help. It's immediately, where's my head? I need to put it back on. And the video is pretty amazing. I do think the photo of the Texas fan, though, is probably my favorite thing I saw all weekend outside of the whale video that we'll be showing you in Best of the Weekend. But that Texas fan with the biggest blowout hair you've ever seen, and he's just super
ticked
off. Very
1980s.
Oh, my gosh.
Very 1980s hair.
So many Guardian cap jokes were flying. He went as viral as anybody over the weekend. I feel bad for him, but I'm also happy for him. It was pretty awesome.
Gotta love the hair, man. The retro looks are in. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your G-Bag of the Day.
Check, 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 bang, check, bang, check. Bang. What up? Here we go. On a Monday. Here we go, man. Let's see here. Cowboys diss track. Cowboys diss track. This is going to be the fifth day for us. So regardless of how it goes, it's going to be the last time you hear it. I know a lot of people might be happy about that, but it's hot. It's blazing hot, and the Cowboys are running from it. They scared. Let's go to the depressed Cowboys fan with that diss track.
Man, here we go again. This team ain't gonna never win. I'm ashamed to be a fan. Got me lying to my friends. Louis belt straight to ass. Dak cannot complete a pass. CeeDee Lamb been playing trash. Man, how long is this gonna last? Damn. Get it, Jerry. Yeah. Quit it, Jerry. Yeah. Retire Jerry, we gotta fire Jerry. Boy, you know this team super bad. I ain't lying. Every week we taking belt to ass. That bitch is me. That cannot complete a simple pass. What he trying to? Man, how long is this bitch gonna last? Who you throwing? Took a 40 ball, beating two times is like a sequence. Wow. Dak, who you throwing to? He threw it to the defense. I'm like, Dak, who you throwing it to? He threw it to the ops. I'm like, Dak, you gotta stop. Dak, go to the barbershop. Get that hairline fixed. And maybe you'll stop throwing picks. And maybe CeeDee Lamb will stop being the diva and he'll stop throwing fits. And maybe Mike McCarthy will be on the sideline wearing some clothes that fit. And maybe Jerry Jones just might retire because he owed it.
That's funny.
It is funny. He's got some more stuff. I'll play it for LA Live tonight.
Nice.
For the 49ers.
To celebrate his five-time immortalization.
Yeah. See what else we got right here. Now, I don't know. I don't think I want to choose this one as a nominee, but I got to play it for you. Mm. I don't know why this dad did this to his son, put him on the timeline like this. Kid is clearly a Browns fan. Listen to this, bro.
So today, Amari Cooper got traded.
Was traded.
It means that he's not on the Cleveland Browns anymore.
What? What is that?
I know, man. It's really sad.
Man.
The whole time, just holding the camera at this kid, getting that reaction so I can press send, get these likes up.
That hurts, man. Cruel. It's dad.
Jeez.
Come on.
Jeez.
It's not good, dad. His friends are going to see that in like 5 years when he's in eighth grade.
Oh, yeah, you can't put that on the internet, man.
Oh, man. No,
that's going to live forever. You're
supposed to build your kids up.
I felt the same way when he got traded to Cleveland. Yeah, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You can't trade
What are you doing? No.
No.
But at least we got a fifth-round pick for him, Broadus. That kid's not getting anything.
I thought Jerry would be the last person in the world to trade somebody for not masking up.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, too, really.
He had two things, like, pulling against him. He's like, football and off the field. Dang it.
For the, I guess football took over for one of the few times.
Go ahead,
it was really money, though.
That's true. That's true. Money, yes.
Let's go to Steelers running back, Najee Harris. Boy, that Steelers game, I tell you what, it was like neck to neck at the halftime, dude. All of a sudden, I woke up in the fourth quarter like, whoa.
What's going on?
Whoa.
Mr. Unlimited is back.
Yeah, he played well.
Unlimited. Najee Harris was in the post-game presser talking like it was just you and me. You see the friend?
Najee, you was running possessed tonight, bro.
Oh, shit. Shut up, my.
Najee, you talked about the execution of all 11.
What
was the difference there from
the
second quarter
on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Najee,
yeah.
You was running possessed tonight, bro.
Oh, shut up, my.
Oh,
shut up, my.
Oh. It's too late, bro. If you see his face, he knows. He's like, man, I might get a call about that one.
The podcast. I think it's the podcast, dude.
Yeah, it really is. It makes like, everybody get comfortable behind these mics. You don't respect the mic anymore like you should. Pause.
Amen.
Yeah. Speaking of, hey, man, yesterday was a church day. I prayed you got your blessing out there. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Oh, man, they had Friendship West on fire yesterday. I seen it. And also shout out to Reverend Ike. I like prosperity preachers. I do. Shout out to Reverend Ike, Peter Popoff, Robert Tilton, where are you?
I want to listen to Peter Popoff.
Yeah, Peter Popoff, baby. Yeah, dog, I like these little prosperity preachers. Now, I'm glad this man right here got his life changed for the better, but it's pure chaos when it happened.
He picked me up, turned me around. Woo! And, woo! And, woo! And, woo! And, woo! Oh, amen! Woo! You can't pray with this.
Don't pass.
Say One more. This pastor right here is not a fan of beards. Woolchuck. Damn, both of you guys. All y'all in there, damn near, except for me and Broadus. We might be all right in the church.
Bearded man.
But the rest of you fools look like heathens in this man's church.
Apostolic churches today, you walk in some of them, there's more beards in there than there are out in the street. I'm going to tell you something. Facial hair is not apostolic. However you want to cut it, it's compromise. I don't care if your leader says you can wear a beard, honey. Beard's nothing more than pride. You're not going to be dipped in Holy Ghost oil and run around looking like the world.
I didn't realize it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, neither did I.
Got to rethink my beard.
I think my man had my alopecia or something. He can't do it. Not in my church.
Can't grow one.
I'm going to be the sexiest man here. I'll be damned.
Definitely. Especially in those 5 o'clock shadow things.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're gonna grow it out, just be nasty with it. You'll be all handsome with it. That's when I'd raise my hand. I'd be like, did God make a mistake putting this on me, bro? Did he not know?
You're going to get prayed for, bro.
Bible putting hair all over beards? My body?
Prayer war is going to be calling you every day.
Or is this the devil's work? We got Cowboys diss track, four-time champ. We got dad putting Browns fan son on the timeline. We got Najee Harris very relaxed in the post-game interview. Church day blessings there, the combo platter.
Somebody says his beard doesn't connect.
That is sinful. Okay, I'm voting for the champ chief. How about you?
Sames.
Lucius?
Yeah, I got to do that.
Woolchuck?
Yep, champ.
Brian?
Champ.
by a score of 5-0. He's done it, becoming a 5-time G-Bag of the Day champion. It's the Cowboys diss track. All righty, coming up next here, a little best-o, Chief?
Yeah, well of a disaster in San Antonio, next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. NFL News of the Day coming up at 3 o'clock. We're back here on a Monday with you. Sports Hodgepodge coming up at 3:20. Time now to celebrate the best of the weekend. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It was a great weekend. It was an awesome weekend. I know Woolchuck will have some sounds and some words to speak on his a little bit later on in the program. But fun weekend overall. We didn't have Cowboys. You know, this feels nice. Kind of like a Victory Monday.
I think everybody good on their bet payoffs.
Mercy Monday.
Did somebody win this week?
Yeah, it is. We were all good, right?
I think we went undefeated, guys.
Buffalo, yeah.
Washington.
Wow, yeah, Buffalo for me. And then you, of course, had Thursday night Denver. Broncos.
Might have to double down and do Thursday again this week.
That was runaway.
Maybe yeah, it'd be a triple down for me.
Yeah, it'd be a triple down. I don't even know who's playing.
Minnesota. Vikings and Rams. Man, Minnesota and the Rams.
Might be a good time to take the Vikings.
Coming off a loss.
Maybe. First loss of the season.
How about that team? They lose
their
best defensive player, and they just go out there and beat the undefeated Vikings.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm. Well, a couple of people had really good weekends. A couple of people had not so good weekends. I would like to start with a little bit more of the college football and with Alabama losing and just the way they went about it. And my question for you guys, because we've seen Nick Saban all over ESPN and the networks – championing Alabama and, you know, taking shots. Like the latest one is, you know, my players were always getting up for the Tennessee game. It was the Auburn game that is supposed to be the biggest rival in the SEC, maybe all of college football, whatever. He's like, it was tougher for me to get my players up for the Auburn games.
Wow.
For the Tennessee games, it was no problem. We know what he did with the Vanderbilt thing a couple of weeks ago, and then they're playing his clip in the stadium as Alabama's losing to Vanderbilt about how the only place that's easy to play or whatever in the SEC is Vanderbilt. So he's taking these shots. You know he's Alabama guy, but watching Alabama lose immediately after he's leaving there, he's portraying something on television that is completely opposite the way he feels inside, where he's giving an internal tiger fist pump every time Alabama takes an L.
You know, I like what you're doing there, Chief. I agree with you 100%, especially because of how many times we heard that having that job for him was so tough because of how insane the fans were.
Mm-hmm.
I bet getting a little bit of distance from it, watching those fans that never appreciated him enough just suffer a little bit. And hey, I think it's human nature. You know, you leave, you're the GOAT. I think there's a part of you that wants to see them go on and have success, but there's also a big part that doesn't want to see them have immediate success.
You want to be missed a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not that easy for Kalen DeBoer to just take over and do what I've been doing here. All right, why don't you go show me a little bit of appreciation? It was hard to win for 20 straight years here.
Just kind of feeling like that, man, he's legendary there, though. I don't know why he would want them – you know, why he would think that he wasn't appreciated. They have statues of him. He's like,
not that he doesn't feel appreciated. This isn't anything that Alabama's done to make him feel this way. This is just basic human nature. And I'm sort of just joking about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think there is probably a part of him that's like, you know, damn right.
He, matter of fact, he followed in history the greatest coach, one of the greatest coaches in college football history, in Bear Bryant. At Alabama. I mean, he basically has made people. I know it's Bryant Denny Stadium, and it's like Nick Saban Field or whatever they call that thing. But
people have a genuine and rooted need to be important, Brian. And everybody has it. And we all deny it publicly.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's just funny. And it's just funny to see the things that Alabama's doing right now where, like, they would never happen with Nick Saban, where you have a coach, an Alabama coach, walking into Neyland on Saturday before the game, and he's already got the cigar in his mouth, the victory cigar. That's not something that, if Nick Saban's the head coach, they're doing. How about the funniest one, where they have like it's a 4th-and-1 in the second quarter, shortly before halftime, and they do a run up the middle trying to get it, but the receiver's out wide. At the snap of the ball, they're doing literally, as if they're celebrating, they're doing an air jump shot. At the snap of the ball, the receivers are both doing a jump shot inexplicably while their guys in the trenches are unable to get the half yard they need to convert on fourth down. Tennessee football going the other way. The visual of them coming up short on fourth down and two of their 11 men on the field are doing if they just scored a touchdown jump shots. You're like, in the snap of a finger, it's a completely different program now.
I gotta look this up. That sounds hilarious. Oh, did they think it was such an automatic?
It's hilarious. Yeah, I would love to know. I haven't seen quotes on it. Maybe, I mean, you have to ask Kalen DeBoer about this after the game. Like, what is it that your players are doing on fourth down where I guess they don't really have anything to do with the play, sure, but it's an awful, awful look.
I'll tell you.
And I just DM'd it to you, Dawson.
The biggest problem, I think, you know, they almost lost the game the previous week to South Carolina, you know, so I think if you look at overall, what Alabama fans should be disappointed about the most is their coach doesn't have the game management that their coach did for the previous, you know, 15 or so years. Mm-hmm. That's why their attention to detail in these games is beyond reckless in the way that they play play. So to me, that if I was an Alabama fan, that's where I would be I would be like, man, our guy does not get it done in these games.
Yeah. 4th and 22, late in the game.
Yeah.
Screw it. We're going.
Saints running back Alvin Kamara was in the building, former Tennessee Volunteer and former Alabama Crimson Tide, but he was a Tennessee man. That's where he made his name. And reports over the weekend, speculation about him wanting out in New Orleans based on the disaster that he's living in right now.
Big old contract to get rid of.
Yeah, he tweeted out at one point, he just said, I ain't request a trade, so that's a lie. I'm in orange robe on the way to Knoxville. Hashtag who dat. So he's still supporting the Saints, but he's also, he's like, I'm literally in an orange robe right now, not requesting trades. I'm going to have fun in my college town. I'm going to watch my team beat Nick Saban's old team. It was a great tweet there from Alvin Kamara.
I don't think I'd want him anyway.
Kamara?
Yeah. I know there's Cowboy talk. I mean, just
absolutely not.
Had the game that made him look electric, but other than that, over the last 2 years, I think it's under 4 an attempt. He's fixing nothing.
If you had a chance to take Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons, which one would you take?
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, people on Twitter were asking me about, evidently there's whispers that teams are calling about Myles Garrett.
Oh, okay. I'd be calling about him.
I bet teams are.
I actually tried to call Cleveland about him the other day. Yeah. They just wouldn't punch me through. It was. Honestly,
you and Jimmy Haslam don't have the relationship.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Not after that one thing he did to me. You guys remember that?
That was terrible.
Well, this is halftime of the Tennessee and Alabama game. It's Alabama's up 7-0, and then this is a question from Kevin Negandhi to Booger McFarland, and this was something about stats that I had never heard before.
How is Tennessee still in this game? Because it's been ugly on the offensive side.
No doubt. There's an old saying I learned a long time ago. Stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things. Mm. If you look at the stats, Tennessee should be getting blown out in this game.
Yeah.
Stats are like bikinis?
Have you heard about? Have you heard that one before, Broadus? Yeah. Scouts football forever?
Yeah, shows some things, but not all things.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Hides just enough.
Tried and true football guy of the day, Booger McFarland. Yeah, Brian Broadus.
Yeah.
You know who had a bad weekend? Did you give him a big L? Jay Cutler, Jay Cutler. Did you see his mugshot?
No, I didn't see the mugshot.
The mugshot's unbelievable.
Is he on mugshotties?
Okay, I'm DMing you now, and you've got to see the Jay Cutler. I mean, he definitely wouldn't be allowed in that one guy's church from G-Bag of the Day. The beard, if you didn't know any better, you'd think this guy was homeless.
Oh, yeah, he does look
very
homeless.
He's really letting that grow out.
Half decent, you know, haircut that makes you think, okay, this guy's he's well-kempt to some extent. But everything from the eyeballs down tell you this is a guy that probably has no home and a strong addiction to something serious.
Yeah, he looks like the undercover version of Jay Cutler. Like, man, no one will ever suspect me of being a narc if I look this horrible.
Now, even Jay Cutler didn't have the worst weekend possible because he was not in attendance in San Antonio at SeaWorld, sitting basically courtside for Shannon to fart water at him. Did you see that?
Yeah,
that's
horrible. My gosh, it's on the fan cam now. Carter Freeman back in the saddle, and it feels so good. Unless, of course, you were sitting waterside for Shamu to have an aqua fart that then gets splashed onto all the clientele. And you can actually see, I'm like, are you serious? You can actually see the the air, the flatulence. Like, this is insane, Walchuk. Have you not seen this?
No. It's
this
is more like a whale shark.
This is the most viral clip of the weekend in and out of the world of sports. This was leading, like, Good Morning America this morning. Americans are having whale fart water splashed onto them, and you could see it. Where was the fart? Look at the green smoke. This looks like out of a movie.
Yeah, right at the bottom in the water there.
Look at that.
Explosive. Oh, my gosh.
Is that the most insane thing you've ever seen? And then look, all the people are like, oh, no. we can see it.
What's the green stuff?
And then it was personal for the whale, because then he goes right back into the gas water and splashes in it and then showers everyone in fart water.
That might have been a poo.
Yeah. Whale fart water is what people walked around the rest of that day in. Can you even imagine? I didn't know that you could see it. I didn't know farts were power. I've never seen a water fart like this.
I thought he went to the bathroom.
That's got to be fecal matter.
It was potentially more substantive. You know, it was a bit of a whale shard, if you will. Yeah. But it wasn't like he's pumping logs out.
I mean, that's a lot of volume, though. It creates a 20-foot by 5-foot cloud.
Goodness gracious.
I thought he might have been here for Chili Dog Friday with you guys.
Those people are insane at SeaWorld for sitting up front to begin with. That guy does that. You got to go. And I'll never look at orcas the same after this.
Me neither.
You know, that's diabolical. That's like what they do to those seals on the ice slabs.
Oh, yeah.
It's violent.
They gang up.
That is aggressive.
Yes, agreed. I'm glad you guys all agree. Lucius, did you see that video?
Yeah, it was a whole estro, really.
It really was.
Oh, my goodness.
What happened to my couch?
He did it on purpose.
Yeah. Thank you. It felt personal.
Yeah, terrible.
I'm like, were these people, chastising the whale throughout his performance? And at the end, he's like, he'd had one big finish?
Yeah, he'd had enough.
This is that's just my diabolical.
Put me in a small little pin down here, and I'll show you.
Krusty's Corner's coming up in about 45 minutes. NFL News Today is next. Well, Chuck, what's in store?
We got some big-time injury updates. Mr. Unlimited. And was this fair or foul? That's next in the nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.